Right now, it is time for Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. You can find them on the web at tqag.com, and they're not worrying about snow where they are. Good morning.
Good morning.
No, but I might have an early dismissal today, too.
Well, there was lots of days in high school where I had early dismissal, but it wasn't due to weather. But we won't go to those places anyway. I tell you, so
that's a whole nother radio program.
At least one. That's right. You know, on Facebook lately, I've been waking up with really weird thoughts at night, and I've made the mistake to actually put them on Facebook, and people have been responding to them so amazing. I don't know what prompted me to – I didn't have any last night, but the last two nights before that, I just had these weird thoughts, and people say, what is the matter with you? Just go to bed. Don't tell us what those thoughts are. We don't want to know.
Oh my gosh! I'm going to have to look at those. Now you've piqued my interest.
That's probably why I'm a single man today. That's right. But anyway, what I was thinking about, when I was flipping through anything but news on television, I found a pretty interesting. I looked at a couple of different auctions. I looked at some car auctions and stuff like that. But not on an auction channel, but just on one of those goofy entertainment channels. They used to pay people to be on TV. Now they don't have to.
Right.
people go and do the damnedest things on TV. But I was thinking, memorabilia. Now, you've got all these shows. And of course, you've got Survivor. You've got the House. You name it. All these reality shows. I haven't seen any memorabilia coming about from these reality TV shows, especially the early ones. Is that something that will stay the same, or do you think these shows will actually produce anything that collectors would want?
Well, for me, that's an easy answer. No. That's my opinion, but I just don't see what would be the appeal of having something from a reality show, you know, unless it's something that it is maybe a costume, or maybe something from the set, or let's say, for example, Honey Boo Boo. Okay, let's just take that. if something from Honey Boo Boo came up, like one of her outfits from the Honey Boo Boo show or whatever they called it, okay, I could see that might have some desirability. But as far as value goes, I just don't see the. I just don't see it.
I think that when you look at memorabilia, it also, and this is just my opinion as well, but it's really in the way that we look at it as appraisers, looking at the degree of I guess quality, of iconic status, of desirability is directly proportional to the degree of popularity of the show and like what was out there. So most of these reality shows, yeah, there is an audience, but it's not a huge audience like a collector base for the memorabilia. So you have to remember that the people that are watching, they're watching for free, they're not paying for it. But once they have to pay to add something to a collection, they may not be in a position to pay $100 even. Maybe it's $300, maybe it's $500, whatever it is, that they may appreciate it, but they're not going to lay out that kind of money, whereas other collectors, like for an iconic Marilyn Monroe piece or a Hollywood piece or something that is more desirable, even in sports collecting, you know, and when you think about the – Sorry, that's Sienna. Now,
Greg, stop. That's Sienna. Greg, stop chewing on that dog chew.
That is Sienna with her pizza dog chew. But what I was saying is with sports memorabilia, where Mickey Mantle just recently, the Mickey Mantle card shatters all records and sells for $5.2 million, and that's because there's a lot of desirability. Now, I don't think you're going to see that in these reality shows. I mean, when you think about it, Marshall, when you said that, I was thinking, okay, what would I think that would be valuable? Well, maybe a trophy from Dancing with the Stars. You know, we're not going to get any of the roses from The Bachelor because they're all dead. You know, but maybe the costumes that they wore, you know, like when you have something like The Bachelor, there's not what kind of memorabilia is there from these reality shows outside of if the set was what made it, you know, important or desirable, you know, something from the house. But most of those houses, they're rented and, you know, they're rented furnished. So it isn't unless the actually that there is where you might sell it is that if they go to sell the mansion where they were taping this, that could be a selling point for a buyer saying this is where season one of The Bachelor was taped or something like that, because they go to different locations. And I'm sure that by renting those and doing that, that gives some sort of cachet, but not like the collectability of sports cards or other memorabilia that is out there.
Well, also, even though they're called reality TV, it's not reality TV. It's set up and scripted. But it's just interesting because you can go to like a show. If I bet you, if a costume that Andy Griffith wore on his original show in Mayberry, if that complete costume came up, I bet you people would bid on that.
Right.
Oh, that, yeah, I think. But you see that there again, that's a very specific and very limited thing that the series was on for a long time. Everybody knew who Andy Griffith was, his career. But then again, to use our old friend Honey Boo Boo, you know what? How many years was that on? Maybe 2-3 years. And what is
Andy
there
Griffin
that's worth having
on
there? Yeah, and Andy Griffin is still on. And you know those the desirability is, I think, what's going to what drives these things. And I think there's probably more of a desire to have something historic than there is to have something that is kitschy.
Greg, and along those lines, I think that you also have you have collectors that collect the golden age of television or television shows and different things. You know, look at the I Dream of Jeannie, the bottle. You know, that has sold several times. There were several examples of those that when I was at Julian's, I know I sold that. And so there are certain props from vintage television that, thanks to so many of these other cable channels, are showing them, rerunning them. They're in the pop culture. It's gone from one generation to another. I mean, I remember watching it as a kid, and you could still watch it. And I know my brother and sister-in-law watch it. And I know that it's something that people have continued to watch. And I said that about the Beatles too, is that they're out there on iTunes. Their music is out there. People know about it, and it's desirable.
It just, you know, it just shows to me the difference of television programming and what people would accept as programming is. People used to get attached to shows. Now they don't. They get attached to characters in these goofy shows, and it's just a totally different situation. Now I have to mention something. I love the sound effect of your dog chewing on the whatever it is, because my favorite TV commercial now is one that I can say I honestly lived through. When I used to work midnights, and my son Mark, I would have to watch him during the day once my wife left for work, and the guy sitting at the computer and yelling at the dog to stop chewing on the chew toy, and he turns around and the dog is right by him, and it's his son in the car, you know, in the playpen, chewing on the dog toy. That happened to me.
Oh my God, I haven't seen that one yet. I have not seen that.
But that happened to me. You know, you yell at your dog, stop, and you turn around, it's not the dog, it's your my son who was in the playpen, got a hold of it and it was chewing on it. Now, that's something I think should be collectible, but then again, that's just me. So what are you guys doing over the course of the next week or so? Anything exciting that we should know about?
Well, you know what? This 2021 started out, we're in just a bang. I mean, I'm telling you, we have hit the ground running. Tim with his new position, and me with also now I'm still a consultant, and I'm starting to do more consultation work with Gurjan. So I have a feeling that we're going to be busy. So and given the everything that's happening with the, you know, COVID-19 and not being able to go out, we are so busy and doing appraisals and virtual walkthroughs. If you would have asked me 6 months ago that, you know, what we would be doing in 2021, I would say, God, I hope we were able to work. But fortunately, in our profession, we are able to utilize the technology, which we've talked about in the past, to keep us going and elevate our business to another level. So that's kind of what we're working on. And I know Tim is really jumping in with both feet now with this new position at Hyneman.
With Hyneman Auctions, which has been really great. We're really jumping into a whole lot of projects of not only appraisals, but also presentations. And just it's really interesting because we have offices all over the country. So I'm in contact with a number of them with questions, just doing a number of different things. But also, the auction, Hyman just had an auction in Palm Beach yesterday, and it did really well. It's interesting to see how the companies, and we talked about this back in March, a year ago, when the whole thing started. We said the companies that are positioned and have been working online and have had put things in place can pivot a lot easier than companies that might be not wanting to change or trying new things or figure out the technology. Hyneman was able to really, really pivot. And I watched part of the auction on Zoom yesterday, and it was great. They have phone bidders. They have people in phone bidders all over the country. And they're so you don't have to be in one room anymore. The auctioneer was in his whole separate room. And then there was people at the gallery so that they were able to bid. And it's fascinating. It's just really great to see. And the prices of things really have not been affected dramatically. I mean, of course, higher end items, and people might not be wanting to sell. There might be a fear. So we don't really know. But the people who have been putting things out into the marketplace, we've been seeing that things have been selling. For example, at Heritage Auctions, they had a rare banknote it's a $20 bill, and it has a Del Monte banana sticker that actually landed on the piece during the printing process. So it is printed over. So it's one of those currency kind of anomalies, those currency errors that was out in the public. So this piece came up, this $20 bill, and it ended up selling just yesterday or the day before for $400,000 because of the error. And they were also using the technology. So they had it up. People could place bids prior to the auction. And before the auction opened, they had bids in excess of $200,000. And then they went from there with active bidders, phone bidders, and other internet bidders to push it. The final selling price was $396,000, so close to $400,000. But it's those sort of things, and I think that that's what we're seeing, is that I do believe that once we do have a vaccine and we can get back out there, we're going to see things really escalate, because people have been holding back for so long. I think that they want to jump out, they want to bring things to market. Okay, it's time to sell. Let's go. Okay, I'm ready to release this. I've had this. Let's go. Let's just do this. And I think you'll have a number of people who are going to be there willing to buy. So there are certain things that have been just showing up in the marketplace, like that Mantle card for $5.2 million. That was just 2 weeks ago that sold at auction. And that's the highest. And that was a 9. It was graded at a 9. And they said that there is a 10 grade for that particular card that's out there. And if that comes up, that could sell for $10 million. But this is the Mickey Mantle baseball card. It isn't his rookie card. It is a 1952 card. And one of the reasons, and this is interesting, I didn't realize this, one of the reasons that it sold for so much is that in the 1960s, there were a bunch of 1952 cards from Topps dumped into the Hudson River because they were so overprinted. And so I guess if you find one that isn't water stained, then that's in really good condition. That's why it sells for so much. So we're seeing a lot of changes, and I think that we're going to continue to see that throughout the year. And let's just hope that with a vaccine, and you know, that we're at the end of the tunnel here, and we can see the light, and we'll just continue to get brighter as we go into 2021.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because very quickly I remember people going to garbage dumps and digging up old Atari cartridges and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that didn't work. They had no chance in the world of working, but they were in good shape looking wise, and they actually made a lot of money by digging up these old Atari cartridges.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's fascinating. Well, and also, I mean, Heritage Auctions just sold several of those, you know, early cartridges, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. You know, $300,000 and $400,000 for these that do work. They have been, and they've been encapsulated, and they've been graded. So it's interesting for collectibles. It's no longer just the coins that are graded, coins and stamps. It's now comic books are encapsulated, and these. Video game cartridges are encapsulated. There's a lot of other collectible items that are being encapsulated because they're being graded for their condition and for their workability, to make sure that they're in excellent condition, and then encapsulated in these, you know, acrylic cases so that they remain that way. And that helps in the buying, especially when you're buying online. Because, you know, when Greg and I used to sell on eBay way back in the 90s, we would sell baseball cards, and they were not graded. And we were able to sell them, and that was fine. And we would show if there were any creases. I mean, we would show the physical conditions, the physical characteristics of the piece. Today, more and more that people want these pieces graded. They want to be assured that they're getting what they're getting because of the high quality of color printers. Comic book pages have been faked, baseball cards have been faked, repaired, all sorts of things. So now it's I think better for the collector because there are these things in place.
God bless America.
Just interesting, isn't it? That's right.
Really,
that's
God right. Bless America. Even though
it is all.
It's not just an American phenomenon, but it seems like Americans will collect and value anything.
Capitalism at its finest. Capitalism at its finest.
All right, well, guys, we'll speak to you next week. Have a great week.
Hey, you too.
Marshall. Take care, buddy.
Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robinhood Radio. You'll find them at tqag.com. On the web.